Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone in the house. I'm so thankful to have you here. If this is your first time with us, we are not trying to embarrass you in any way, but if this is just your first time at Impact Church, could you just quickly just raise your hand? We just want to, we're so grateful that God led you to be with us today. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Can we also take a moment and just show honor where it's due and thank God for our worship team for just kind of setting that atmosphere today. Thank you, Rev Dev, and our entire worship team. Thankful you all. Man, awesome. Awesome. I used to play a little piano back in the day. And then Rev Dev got a lot better than me, and I said, forget that. Let me just do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. So I couldn't help but Google search, Jesus is risen. Couldn't help it. Jesus is risen. And to all my Gen Zers in the house, you know what came up? This picture right here. He is risen. Come on, what? Jesus about to hit the devil with the holy crossover. Come on, somebody. He is risen. Oh, Lord, help Gen Z. Can somebody say amen, Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1, quickly, and then we're going to jump to Luke 24. But 1 Peter chapter 1 reads this way. Verse 3 says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. Praise be to God, who is the Father and the Lord, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Here it is, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I know you're here on Easter, but if you believe in the resurrection and you are grateful for the new life you have and the hope that you have, can you just shout amen today? Amen. Hallelujah. If you are new here, if this is your first time, if you have no idea who I am, I'm an audience participation kind of guy, okay? So I like when you talk to me. Talk back to me, okay? So I do this every now and then. I want to make sure that you understand exactly what I mean without just assuming you know. So let's just practice, okay? Everyone just say amen. Amen. Not too hard, right? Didn't really cost you anything, just okay? Let's try this. Let's just someone say hallelujah. We're getting a little more spiritual on me now. Okay, I feel you, all right? All right, let's take maybe take a little more Baptist, a little Baptist in the house, okay? God is good. All the time. That's actually the actual response, yeah, okay? And all the time. There you go. Okay, there we go. Yeah, now we're starting to feel a little bit, okay? Let's get a little more charismatic, if we will. A little more charismatic. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Woo, get a little more charismatic in the house. Now I'm about to go, because you know what I am, I'm a Pentecostal boy. I'm about to go full Pentecostal on you in just a moment. Y'all ready for this? If you know that God is good and you believe his word is good and you have seen his promises in your life, then somebody give me a way, yeah. Okay, amen. All right, good. All right. So my point is just simply this. If you believe what I'm saying, then don't sit there dormant and quiet. Open up your mouth and agree with God's word today. If you believe God's word is true, shout amen. All right, hallelujah, all right. What I want to do just briefly, if I can, just for a moment before I give you what I have. I want to recognize historically that for 2,000 years, the most highly contested, the most vehemently debated, and really the most persistently rejected event in human history is what we're here to celebrate today. People have not kicked against anything in human history the way they kick against the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't even have the stats, but for every one person that believes in the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead, you've got countless other faces and people who ignore it completely. Countless people who argue that the resurrection is nothing more than mythology. Or if it's not mythology, maybe it's just an outright lie. Or if it's not an outright lie, at least, at the very least, it's highly improbable. And I just came to tell you simply, just because something seems improbable doesn't mean it's impossible. In fact, Acts chapter 2, Peter said it this way. He said, God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Here's why. Because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Just for 24 seconds, can I ask the people who believe like Mary, with my God, nothing shall be impossible. Can you just put your hands together and let your doubt know, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let your fear know, with God, nothing Nothing shall be impossible. And we're here to let even the doubters know, with God, nothing is impossible. All right, now for the main text. And my Catholics in the room, this is easy for you. Let's all stand for the reading of the word. This is easy. My Catholics are easy. We're ready for the up and down. This is all of us. I know you might not be Catholic anymore. Whatever. Stand up. Stand up. It's all right. Stand up. We're going to honor the reading of the word together here today from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And it reads this way. Verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the woman bowed down and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Ooh, I wonder if that just came as a shock. Thank you, Nadia, for telling us that earlier, wherever she is. Thank you. Sorry, I can't really see anything. It's dark. Well, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Wait, what? Wait, here it is. He's not here. He has risen. And I don't mean with the crossover. I mean, he ain't dead anymore. He's risen. Here it is. Remember how he told you while he was still with you. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, but on the third day be raised again. And here's why I want to finish this reading together. Then they remembered. Someone holler, remember. Then they remembered Jesus' words. Before you're seated, will you just help me just preach my sermon for a moment? Would you just look at your neighbor, just quickly say, and just tell them, look at your neighbor and just tell them, Jesus always keeps his word. Tell somebody else, Jesus always keeps his word. Now tell that person that was just sitting there not doing anything at all, Jesus always keeps his word. And here's my sermon title for today. So don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. If you're ready to receive the word of God, come on, put your hands together. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Pastor Olga, do I have my props? Okay. All right, my guy, you're good. I'll tell you when. Thank you, sir. So, just in case you're wondering what's going on in here, I started youth pastoring at the age of 18. I've tried to get away from teenagers for now 25 years. This year will be 25 years of ministry for me. Somebody better pray for me. Hello. 25 years without a sabbatical. Oh, Lord, pray for me. Everybody. So here I am. I can't get away from teenagers. So you know what I'm going to do today? You know what I'm going to do today? I'm just going to have some fun. Let's have a good time. You didn't come to church to be bored. Come on, somebody. And you surely aren't going to go to heaven to be bored. Hello. So I might as well have a good time in the house of God. So what I want to do is this. I want to ask this first to everyone in the room. Have you ever been 100% certain about something from the past only to find out you remembered it incorrectly? Oh, Lord, anniversaries. I'm getting somebody in trouble with their wife. Birthdays. I remembered it incorrectly. Okay. Well, I need you to know you're not alone. And maybe you're familiar with this term. It came out in 2009. It's called the Mandela Effect. The Mandela Effect is that phenomenon where a large group of people claim to remember a certain thing a certain way. Examples: song lyrics, movie lines, products they've purchased, even historical events. They've remembered it a certain way, but their collective memory is wrong. The Mandela Effect was named after President Nelson Mandela, who actually became president of South Africa in the 90s after he was released from prison. But there's a big group of people that remember him dying in prison in the 80s. Say, what? Well, who was standing in office then for all those years as president of South Africa? Historically, actually, he died in 2013, 11 years ago. But you've got this group of people that remember him dying in prison in the 80s. They remember his wife giving his eulogy, and they remember this wrongly. So people will claim the Mandela Effect is probably just due to misremembering. Or can we be honest for just a moment? All the disinformation on your Bible called the internet. I call it your Bible because you read it more than this one. Hello? And that's why you're disinformed. Can I just help somebody just real quick in 2024? Don't believe every YouTube video that's out there. Thank you. Thank you to the one person that probably don't even watch YouTube. Thank you, Miss Autumn. Amen. So some people claim it's misinformation. Some people claim it's mismembering. But others have these more outlandish claims. They claim the Mandela effect happens because there's parallel universes. They've been watching too many Marvel movies. They claim stuff like this. It's priming. Priming is, if you watch any kind of crime shows, priming is when a person phrases a question a certain way so they get their desired answer. Priming. There's also this thing called confabulation. Confabulation is where your brain just begins to fill in the gaps. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to illustrate the Mandela effect, okay? I need somebody that is over the age of 30, because you have to be old enough to remember some things. Anybody over the age of 30 I'm going to do? I'm going to grab my brother, Kareem. Come here, Kareem. You already knew where I was going. Come here, Kareem. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up Kareem Thomas, my guy, in the house. Come here, Kareem. Resurrection, brother. Woo, look at this handsome man. Good Lord. I know someone's going to bless me with some J's after church today. Can I get an amen? I was going to match my suit today. Kareem, what I want to do here just for a moment, brother, is I want us to demonstrate the Mandela effect, okay, if we can, all right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you some questions, put some things on the screen, and you're going to tell me which one you remember. Does that work? Okay. What I'm also going to do is I'm going to ask the audience to just help us out, okay, because I'm going to leave my brother up here all by himself. Amen? Okay. We're the body of Christ. We're going to help each other out. So Kareem, did you happen to ever watch Star Wars?
You did.
Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. So you watched Star Wars. Do you remember the character C-3PO? Okay, let's give them that image here. Which one is C-3PO? Which one do you remember, C-3PO? I mean, they're both C-3PO. Which one do you remember? Both, okay. Can anyone see the difference? Does anybody remember C-3PO having a silver leg? Since 1977, does anybody remember that? Do you remember it? Because I don't. Since 1977, before I walked this planet, C-3PO was walking around with a silver leg. Oh, Lord, don't go back and watch. It's there. Do you remember that? Do you? No, I don't remember that either. I don't remember that. All right. How about this? I don't know if you remember this one or not, Kareem. I used to watch Bugs Bunny all the time. Anybody else watch Looney Tunes? Kareem, what was the proper spelling? Let's give it to him. Which one was the proper spelling? What do you remember? Okay, who remembers the one on the right? Who remembers the one on the right? Who remembers the one on the left? Oh, wow, okay. It's actually the one on the left, right? It shocked me too. All right, Kareem, did you play Monopoly? Don't play with my brother Dylan. Don't play with Dylan. Because if Dylan loses, he's going to lose his salvation. Hello, somebody, okay? Pray for Dylan. All right. Mr. Monopoly, remember Mr. Monopoly? Okay, Mr. Monopoly. Anyone played Monopoly before? Let's give it to him, Tiana. Which one is it? Kareem, which one is it? The one with the monocle. How many say it's the one with the monocle? The one on the right. I remember him having a monocle. How many say it's the one on the left? Because Pastor's just screwing with us right now. Only if you eat Planters peanuts would he have a monocle. It's the one on the left. I don't remember this. It's messing with me. It is just messing with me. All right, here you go, Kareem. Here we go. This is for those of us who grew up in Chicago. Here it is right here. Give it to him. Give it to Tiana. Is it Oscar Mayer or Oscar Mayer? Oh, Lord. Is it the E or the A, Kareem? E or A? Huh? E? E? How many people say E? Of course it's Mayer. Oh, Lord, I need you to Google search right now. Since the 1880s, it's an A. The guy's name was Oscar Mayer. What? What? What is happening? I feel like my whole childhood has just been ruined. What is going on? All right, Kareem, I got another one for you. Maybe you won't know this one, Kareem, but I know Justice Generation will. Give me that next one, Tiana. Any idea, Kareem? So you got the black tail or not? Come on. Who says he's got the black tail? He's got the black tail. I remember him with the black tail. Who says, nope, I remember. It's the one on the left, Kareem. It's the one on the left. Yeah, I just, no black tail. I feel like I've just ruined, just wrecked somebody's life. I'm so sorry. Look at this, look at this. We're just, the whole congregation now just confused and just life doesn't make any sense anymore, Pastor. Pray me back. All right, Kareem, I got one for you. I used to watch a show all the time. I'm gonna have everyone help me. Ready? Everybody ready? It's a beautiful day in. Wait. Time out. It's a beautiful day in. Wait. Who said the? I always said the. Who knows it's actually this? Some people want to fight me now. I went back and I listened. He actually says, it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. Boo! I'm Mr. Rogers. Boo! Oh, Lord. All right, Kareem, I got one for you. Since you were a Star Wars guy like me, let's give it to him. No audio yet. The most iconic scene in all of Empire Strikes Back. Kareem, do you know what Vader says right here? Who knows what Vader says right here? What is it? What does he preface I am your father with? Anybody know? How many say, Luke, I am your father? Give him the audio.
No, I am the father. No, I am the father.
Stop it! Vader, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I thought it was Luke. No, I am your father. That's how I remember. Kareem, can you handle peanut butter? You're not allergic. Our generation ain't allergic. Kareem? I hold in my hand a can of what kind of peanut butter? What kind? Yeah. What kind?
Yeah. Jiffy.
I said Jiffy too. Because of Jiffy Lube and Skippy peanut butter. And gosh dang it, when do you know it, Kareem? It's just J-I-F. Jiff. Who is just ready to start throwing things at the stage right now? Just sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show some love to my brother Kareem. I'm going to give him a can of Jiff. End this memory matching game because I love you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Kareem Thomas. Oh, Lord. What I want to do is I want to give you three things quickly. Three things. Number one is this. All throughout Scripture, God not only encourages, he commands his people to do something important. It's called remember. Remember. I'm about to. Remember. Isaiah 46:9, God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Psalms 143, verse 5, God says, the psalmist says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. God is all about this thing called remember. In fact, the Jewish holiday that was just celebrated of Passover is an annual memorial to remember that God brought slaves out of Egypt and gave them a promised land called Israel. So when we look at the Bible and we even look at the words of Jesus, we take communion because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Someone holler, remember. Remember, I can feel like the spirit of Mufasa rising up today. Remember who you are. Remember. Why does God then practically force us to remember? Here's why. Because as humans, we have the proclivity to forget. Anybody else like me like to use that excuse? I forgot. My children are notorious for saying these two words to me. I forgot. Am I alone on the stage? I got any other parents in the room? Let me give you a dialogue between me and my children. Me. Did you do your chores? Did you do your homework? Did you brush your teeth? Did you set your alarm so I don't have to wake you up in the morning? Them. I forgot. Me. Did you forget to watch YouTube? Did you forget to play Roblox? Did you forget to play Fortnite? Did you forget to message your friends? Them. Crickets. We have a tendency, a proclivity to forgetfulness. And this is why I need you to know, when you forget to remember, you will take for granted in this season what you prayed so hard for in a previous season. But if you've ever prayed for something and God has answered your prayer, can you shout today, I will remember. I won't forget to remember. The angels showed up and they said, remember, 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 because Jesus' exit from the tomb was actually an indication of prophetic fulfillment. What do I mean? I mean, look, remember what Jesus said he was going to do. He said he would die, and then he said he would be raised back to life again. And I could see the women saying, oh, yeah. Now I remember it was prophesied this would happen, and now it's been fulfilled. So the resurrection is actually a reminder that we serve a God that is committed to keeping every one of his promises. God told Jesus, listen, they're going to put you in, but I'm going to be the one to bring you out. I need somebody here to hear me in your spirit today, because I came to tell you, we have spent too much time focused on the people who have put us in when we need to put our attention on the God who has brought us out. In scripture, it was the people that put Joseph in a pit. It was the people that threw Daniel in a lion's den. It was the people that put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. It was the people that put Paul and Peter in a prison. It was the people that nailed Jesus to a tree and put him in a tomb. But it was God who got each one of them out. Can I find a witness in this place? In 2024, I came to let the devil know the same God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion is the same God that will deliver me out of this as well. They put me in, but God got me out. Do I have any witnesses in 2024 that can say God brought me out? So the focus doesn't need to be on who threw me in. Focus needs to be on the one who brought me out. Deliver me out. And I believe that just looking back at verse 1, that early that morning, Luke 24, verse 1, that early, if the woman had, the women that were there, if they had just remembered what Jesus told them, Miss Tracy, they wouldn't have gone to the tomb as a final act of worship. They would have gone to the tomb with some popcorn to watch the resurrection. If they would have just remembered. Can I tell you what happens with religion? Religion always worships Jesus where it left Jesus. How many denominations are dead right now? Churches that are celebrating a risen Savior, but everything about them just looks like it's dying and dead. I'm not condemning those denominations. I'm simply saying you're worshiping a Jesus that you've left in the tomb when mine has been resurrected, and I can't help but respond to that resurrection with hope. The power of the Christian faith is not that he was in the tomb, not even that he died on a cross. The power of the Christian faith is he's not here. I know you rocked that cross around your neck, but he's not there. He has risen. If you're grateful for the resurrection, say amen. Amen. Point two. I want to tell you like this, because those of us who are trying to walk by faith, and you need to hear me here. Don't just remember what you've seen. Remember what you've heard. That day, the women walked up to the tomb expecting to see Jesus, how they left Jesus. Remember what they saw? They saw him beaten. They saw him scourged. They saw the crown of thorns crammed into his skull. They saw him spit upon and mocked. They saw him nailed to a cross with through his hands and his feet. They watched him suffer in agony for hours as he bled from every possible pore in his body. And then they watched him die and watched him be buried. This is what they saw. They saw him die. They saw him be buried. So everything they had seen made them forget everything they had heard. So God sends two angels just to remind them, just like he said, he is risen. I'm here to remind you on Easter Sunday, 2024, he is risen. I know you can't wait to get your Easter lunch and go on your egg hunts, but I came to tell you he is risen. And you need to remember this the next time pain and struggle and defeat and sickness and worry and demonic activity come against your life. You need to throw it back in the face of the enemy. He's not here. He is risen. I remember. Because here's what you need to know. It is so easy to doubt what you see on Monday because it completely contradicts what you've heard on Sunday. Think about it. I want to remind believers, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And according to the Bible, faith does not come by sight. Faith comes by hearing. So don't just remember what you've seen. Remember what you've... Because you need faith in these last days if you're going to please God and if you're going to see God's promises fulfilled in your life. And the truth of the matter is just simply this. The next time you see that your body is sick and racked with pain, don't remember what you see. Remember what you heard. By his stripes, I am healed. The next time that you are overworked and overlooked and underappreciated, don't focus on what you see. Remember what you heard. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't give up just yet. I want to tell somebody, when all you see is defeat and all you see is loss and all you can see is loneliness and brokenness and emptiness and death all around you, don't focus on what you see. Focus on what you've heard. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I remember what I heard, because that Easter morning, everyone made the same mistake. Everybody who came to the tomb that morning messed up in the same way, because they were all looking for Jesus in the last place they saw him. Let me say it like this. They were actually all looking for Jesus in the last position they saw him. All looking for Jesus in the last condition they saw him. All looking for Jesus in the last state of being that they last saw him. And this is why verse 6 says, Jesus is not here. He's not where you left him. He's not in the position you left him in, the condition you left him in. He's not there anymore. Would you gently just nudge somebody and just remind them, he's not there anymore. And as I wrap this up, let me give you what I mean. There are some people right now and some demons right now that are looking for you in the last place they left you. And they're expecting to see you in the same condition and the same position they last saw you in. And I just want to say to all the people that have abused you and used you and betrayed you and stopped believing in you, they're going to be shocked when they can't find you in the last place they left you. I need somebody to put your hands together and let that person know, don't try hitting me up on Insta. Don't try hitting me up on Snap. Don't try, because I'm not where you last saw me. I'm not there anymore. And I came to tell the devil, the next time you tempt me and tell me I want what I used to have and I want to be who I used to be, I came to tell the devil, I'm not there anymore. Not anymore. And this is why the Bible says to us, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. Someone holler, I'm not there anymore. Old things have passed away. I said, old things have passed away. I used to be insecure, but I'm not there anymore. I used to be depressed, but I'm not there anymore. I used to be brokenhearted, but I'm not there anymore. I'll find where you are. Hold on just a second, I'll get there. I used to be a racist, but I'm not there anymore. I used to badmouth people, but I'm not there anymore. I used to be a drunkard and addicted and lost and confused, but I'm not there anymore. Because anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. I'm not there anymore. You need to know that. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The old has gone. The new life has come. Someone say, I'm not there anymore. Not there anymore. Last point, and we're done. I wasn't going to share this today. I was actually going to do something I do like once every 3 years. I was going to give you the greatest comeback in history. But then I felt like the Lord's like, nope. You need to tell him this. So anytime the Holy Spirit shows me something last minute, I better listen, or I won't have a church long. But it also caused me to pause just for a moment. And maybe you don't do this with God, but I sometimes like, okay, Lord, why? Why? Not because I'm questioning God, but because I want to know what he knows. And I want to see what he sees, and I want to hear what he hears. And here's the last point I want to give you today. The resurrection is proof that God will remember you. Now, you know me. I like to play on words. Here's what I mean. Rev, I tried to avoid this, but the Holy Spirit's like, take them to Luke 19. So here it is. Verse 39. One of the criminals hanging besides Jesus scoffed and said, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. I feel the Holy Spirit. Somebody just hear me in your spirit right now. Hear me in your spirit. This is why I believe the Lord wanted me to go here. Okay. One thief thought he deserved to be free without acknowledging his guilt, without acknowledging what he actually deserved. He just wanted off in mockery of Jesus. Couldn't imagine a dying man mocking me while I'm dying. But the other man began to sense something. And this was it. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he deserved to die. He was getting what he deserved. But then he does something that I pray that you will do today, because this is what God wants you to do. Instead of just accepting what you deserve, would you turn to Jesus and ask him to give you what you don't deserve? Would you remember me? And here's what I believe. I believe that the thief was not only asking Jesus, Jesus, please don't forget me. I believe he was saying to Jesus, Jesus, would you take the pieces of a life that I have ripped apart? Would you take the pieces of a life that I have wrecked and ruined? Would you take these broken, shattered pieces, and would you do what only clearly you can do? And would you put me back together? Would you mold me and mend me? Would you remember me? I want to tell somebody here today, if the people you were supposed to trust are the people who harmed you and abused you and used you and ruined you, Jesus can remember you. I want to tell the people here today, if your past choices have so wrecked your life that you're left in pieces and in ruins, Jesus can remember you and bring you back together. And if you feel forgotten today, he's still thinking of you. He remembers you. He remembered you 2,000 years ago. He remembers you in this moment. And this is why I want to tell everyone in this room, if you've transgressed in any way, remember, he was wounded for our transgressions. If you have in any way committed sin and messed up, remember, he was crushed for your iniquities. If in any point at all you deserve punishment for what you've done, I want you to remember the chastisement, the punishment of our peace was upon him. And if you are sick today, just remember, by his stripes we are healed. Somebody put your hands together and declare, he remembers me. He was born to remember me. He lived to remember me. He died to remember me. He resurrected to remember me. And I came to tell you, he's coming back again to remember us. Put your hands together and praise this King who has never forgotten you. When others that gave up on you, abandoned you, totally disremembered who you were, you've always been on his mind. Stand your feet with me today. He remembers me. And he's coming back for me. Because he remembers me. He remembers me. What I'm going to do here just for a moment is I'm going to pray. And I'm going to open up this altar for our prayer team. To anyone who just needs the Savior to remember. Again, not just take a mental note of who you are. Not just, please don't forget me. I mean, Lord, this life is messed up. People have messed it up. I have messed it up. But would you put it back together? And I believe Jesus is going to tell you what he told that thief. I got you. I won't forget to remember. I will keep my word. And I believe Christ is going to remember those parts of you that have felt so removed, so broken, so defeated, because only he can do this. Only Jesus. Listen, I can't do it. The prayer team can't do it. Only Jesus. Religion can't do it. Putting your faith in YouTube videos can't do it. Only Jesus can put you back together. My God. And here's why I want you to know he's coming again. Because what I'm seeing him do, Sister Nancy, it's amazing what I'm seeing God do. The proof that he's coming back again is he's reaching back into your past. I'm watching God do this all over the place. He's reaching back into areas in your past where you were traumatized and tormented and broken, where people sexually abused you, where people just took from you and never gave back, where you felt like you were worthless and unnoticed and unnecessary. I'm watching God reach back into people's past, things they tucked away, things they didn't want to remember. And he's healing it. And he's restoring them. And the reason some of you have a smile on your face today, it's not just because it's a good day. It's because it was a good yesterday. Because he healed my yesterday. Today's a good day so that my tomorrow would be a good day. And I feel like at this altar today, every one of you who have been dealing with some kind of trauma from your past, whether it was self-inflicted, because so many of us are notorious for self-sabotaging ourselves. But those of you, I've been wronged. And I can't get past it. You don't have to. Let Christ heal it and help move you forward. Whew. I'm watching God do this nonstop in this season. And it's proof to me that he's coming back. Because he's not going to give you this kind of future where you're still struggling with your past. He's the God who redeems all things. Now, I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, but if you need Jesus to remember you today, can you just throw up your hand and say, Lord, put me back together. I need your grace to put me together. I need your power to me together. Johnny, I see you, sir. You don't even have to be standing in this room. I see you because the Father sees you. Let today be a day of healing. Today be a day of victory. Today be a day where God begins to put together what the enemy meant for evil. God will mean it for good. I need just a little bit of faith in this room here today because I can sense the Spirit of God. I sense him in this room. He's going to begin to remember people here today. And he's coming back again. This is how I know, because he's putting you back together so that you'll be whole and complete, no longer broken, no longer confused, no longer living in sin, no longer committing the same cycle of selfishness and foolishness and stupidity and sinfulness again and again. No more being traumatized by the past. Today is a day of healing. Whew. Today is a day of victory. He defeated death, not just so you could get dressed up and go find some, eat some Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies. No, he defeated death so today you could live and have life more abundantly. Amen. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. Here's all I want to do. I don't mean to be crazy about this. I'm just going to show you something quickly, and then I'm going to pray. Tiana, give me that last image I've got. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach about this. Many of you probably know what's going to happen next week. The total solar eclipse is going to happen next Monday. 2017, it crossed from the northwest to the southeast of our nation. Next Monday, it's crossing kind of more or less the midwest, southwest, up to the northeast. The X happens to land on our state. This crossing point. What does that mean, Pastor? Come next Sunday. There's your cliffhanger. Want, want. This is just another sign that God keeps his word and that Christ is coming back. I don't know when. I'm almost positive it won't happen during an eclipse because he's the sun. He don't want to be hidden. But I know he's coming soon. And it's because of what you can sense in your heart today, in your soul today. God is doing a work today. Can I just for a moment, just the believers in this room, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, throw up your hands really high. If you got to unbutton your suit jacket, do what you got to do. Get those hands up there high. Because I believe we're going to see the work of God in this place today. I'm going to be real careful here. Anyone who's on the front row, we need to get these chairs out of the way because this is front right here. We just need to get these chairs out of the way because I can sense that people are ready to come and let God heal them. I'm also going to invite down the prayer team, my prayer team right here. Just this front row. We're okay over there. We're okay on the sides. We're okay. Just right here. Prayer. I don't want to interrupt what the Spirit of God is doing. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll be real quick about this. The prayer team is down here at the front. Whew. All right, with our hands raised. Get back in the right mode here. Heavenly Father, everyone just repeat this after me. Everyone repeat this after me because I want to make sure you're right with God when you leave this place. Everyone just repeat this. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for resurrecting from the dead. Today I put my faith in you. Today I put my hope in you. Today I put my trust in you. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I believe you love me. And I believe today you're going to remember me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Now, just for a second, along with our hands raised, Father, I thank you you've heard these men and women as they prayed. I thank you for salvation that does not come from my good works or from going to church on Sunday. Salvation comes from your grace alone. And I put my faith in your finished work on the cross. Now, Lord, in these next few moments, I know you're going to heal people. I know you're going to restore people. I know you're going to redeem people. I know you're going to remember broken people in this place because you resurrected from the dead so that we might have life and life more abundantly. Today is that day, and I praise you for that, Lord. Can we just take 30 more seconds and just worship God? Come on, just help me worship God today. Just help me worship our great God today. We worship you, Almighty God, because there is no one in heaven or earth like you. We worship you because no one deserves my heartfelt love and adoration and gratitude except you alone. I worship you today, Lord. I worship you today, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. Believe it or not, but whatever you worship gets bigger. Whatever you magnify, it gets bigger. That's what worship is. It magnifies something. If you'll worship Jesus, he'll get bigger than your problems. If you worship Jesus, he'll get bigger than the pain. If you worship Jesus, he'll get bigger than the insecurity. If you'll just worship Jesus, he'll get bigger than those demons that have been coming against you because your focus is not on the issue. Your focus is on the one who's going to deliver you. So, Father, I thank you now that you're receiving our worship. Now let heaven respond to earth today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's already happening, family. I can sense it. His perfect will in heaven is happening right here on the earth. If you need Christ to remember you, I'm going to release you to come to this altar today. Wherever you are, come and let us pray with you. Let this team of people begin to agree that today is your day of healing. Today is your day of victory. Today is your day of restoration. Come on, you don't have to, don't sit there. It's all right, come on. Let us pray. Let us believe. Today is that day where we see Christ put us back together. The purpose of the resurrection is proof that he has power. Amen. He has power over everything that has torn me apart, over everything that has tried to destroy me. Amen. Come on, come on. It's all right. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come through those aisles. They want to come. Let him come. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody help me rejoice today because God is working his work. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ooh.